Shape of Cthulhu presents A Call of Cthulhu Scenario, The Necropolis by Lee Carr.
So this is The Necropolis. Why don't everyone introduce yourselves? And well, you don't have to introduce yourselves. We know who you are. Introduce your characters, please.
I am playing Thomas Singh. He is a 17-year-old boy, a young man from Bombay who is joined the expedition as a linguist and a sort of go-getter, just to sort of do stuff. He is gangly and tall, and kind of a little ragged around the edges, but very plucky.
if you were to describe him in one word, it would be
plucky. Plucky. Shit, did I just say his name was Thomas Singh?
Yes.
I thought, well, to me, his name's now Plucky.
Well, that's fine. Yeah.
Steve?
Hey, Plucky, go get me coffee.
Yeah, I am playing Ibn al-Rashid, a crew chief for an archaeological dig who tries to keep the hired help in line and take care of the people who from whence the money flows.
Randall?
You didn't send me one with a name, so I assume I need to create one, right?
And none of the characters have names. They just have archetypes.
Oh, so, all right. Yeah, it's Phil McKenzie. He's an ex-soldier, and you can see him around, kind of always playing around with his knife. He's got a temper, so if he drinks too much, he will fight with someone. So people are trying to avoid drinking with him all the time because of that. Other than that, he's a nice fellow.
Steve, what was your guy's name again?
Sorry, I was muted.
Ibn al-Rashid.
Al-Rashid? Okay.
And then what was yours again?
Philip McKenzie.
M-A-C or M-C-K?
M-C. M-C-K.
That's funny. I was going to ask one L or two.
two L's.
Okay. Gotta get it right for the tombstone.
That's right. Well, we don't want him to get angry, you know. He has a temper.
And then what was yours again, Edwin?
Be careful.
Thomas Singh.
Thomas Singh. Are you related to the Singhs from Mask of Narlathotep? You better be. Helen.
No, those were Indian Singhs.
So am I. I'm from Bombay. Yeah.
I'm trying to help you not get killed here, Edwin.
Max?
Speaking of
the money?
Well, of course you should know who I am. I'm Chauncey S. Cartwright, the British Empire. Quite rich. But like mystery of artifacts and hidden ore and... Quite excited to see what you gentlemen will uncover for me here at the dig site.
Hmm. Nice. Okay. Yes. So you are all, of course, acquainted with each other. You've been working with each other for, you know, a couple months now. Here in the Valley of the Kings in Egypt.
I know it well. I mean, no, I don't.
And recently, the leader, or at least the scientific leader of this expedition, The archaeologist who may or may not speak with a Australian accent.
Well, he's definitely gonna, Jim. FYI.
Has identified a... You have found a new tomb in the Valley of the Kings. Heretofore unidentified. And you've, you know, the laborers have spent a couple of days cleaning off the opening, you know, cleaning off kind of the roof slab, clearing this dirt, rocks, and sand off it to find, you know, basically just a huge stone slab set into the ground. And they very diligently worked to set up some hoists and cranes to lift, be able to get in and lift the slab up. And so on this day, whatever this day is, November 24, 1924, they have, under the supervision of the archaeologist, have managed to do that. The slab has come up, you know, with a good deal of effort. You know, there are lots of strong laborers pulling on the ropes and grunting and chanting and lifting it up. And then you know, tying off the ropes and setting some chocks to keep the slab open. And the archaeologist, you know, kind of takes the first steps into the opened tomb, followed by the rest of you. You find yourself
very exciting.
I think I'm trying to force my way in second. You know, I let everyone else do the hard work, and then, you know, I'll defer to the archaeologist. So if there's any traps, he dies first. But I'm
careful,
definitely
careful,
right
Mr.
there
Cartwright.
For the glory.
Careful, Mr. Cartwright. Watch your step.
And so you can see that just beyond the slab, as you kind of, you know, kind of have to go down and forward, and you find yourselves in a kind of a long, narrow passage. Just a rectangular passage. You know, the walls are all, you know, worked and carved stone. And let me find. You have candles and a couple of the, you know, you'll have candles and lanterns and stuff. And it's, you know, it's certainly dark, but with your lanterns, you can see in the light kind of coming in from the opening. You know, you can see this passageway is, you know, probably 20, 25, maybe 30 feet long at the outside. There appears to be, you know, some kind of another slab or wall at the end of it. It's not terribly wide. It's, you know, 5 feet wide, 6 feet wide. Not much more than this. And you can see that the walls appear to be, there's no debris in the passageway that you can see, but the walls appear to be just covered in hieroglyphics in reasonable shape. You know, I mean, it is clearly an ancient Egyptian, you know, tomb of some description. So it's a little cracked and a little worn, but, you know, the hieroglyphics on the wall are, you know, as clear and as, you know, bright as you've ever seen.
Question for you. My character speaks Egyptian. Is that Arabic or hieroglyphics, or is it modern Egyptian, or
yes.
What does that mean? Okay,
that does not mean hieroglyphics.
Okay,
there are character sheets that have
hieroglyphics
okay. as a language, so that's intended okay. to be.
So I would like to slip past as people are eyeballing and just sort of take a look at the whole length of the jog down to the end of the hall there.
Okay.
Being skinny and dexy.
Unless somebody's going to suddenly start fighting for some reason. I presume you can do that. Give me a spot hit and roll.
Oh, okay. There's one, there's another. That is, sure, I'll spend some luck. We'll make it a success.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you're making your way down the passage, you can see that There are limestone chips, not covering the floor, but enough to be noticeable. And they look like they've come out of the wall. So, but not just kind of fallen out. It seems pretty clear to you that somebody at some point in history was in here, chipping away at the wall.
Mr. Cartwright, look.
Yes, Plucky. What did you find?
Somebody was here maybe 1,000 years ago. That is so interesting.
Impossible. Impossible.
Look at these. Look at these chips on the floor.
Wait, now, what would be the estimated date of this tomb being sealed?
If your archaeologist was here, he would tell you that it was... he doesn't know. He can't be certain at the moment. Certainly no one has been in here since it... certainly he doesn't think that anyone was in here since it was first closed. Since it was originally sealed up. And that was, probably a good 4,000 or 5,000 years ago.
Okay, and the marks he's pointing out look like they are significantly newer than that, correct?
There might be some kind of role that would allow you to
make that kind of
archaeology role.
I will sidle my way over there and see what I can notice about those markings.
Where is the archaeologist? Let me find the archaeologist. Let me make a roll for him here. See what his opinion on the subject is.
And so I'm guessing it's going to be my archaeology of 01.
Yes. you're welcome to roll it. But your archaeologist will say something about, yes, that's weird. These chips do seem to be, based on the patina underneath, and these chips are certainly not 5,000 years old. They're not yesterday, but they're not 5,000 years old either.
I furrow my brow and nod my head and thumb and finger on chin and, yes, my thoughts exactly as well.
Okay.
I can go ahead and make a bluff if anyone wants to psychology that.
Mr. Rashid and Mr. McKenzie, what are you guys up to?
I'll be, Ibn is kind of looking around at the walls and ceiling to make sure everything seems secure and nothing's going to fall, anything like that. He's looking for structural defects, dangers, things like that.
Sure.
McKenzie will be hanging around as well with the torch, just lighting here and there. Getting the torch too close to the hieroglyphics and. just be careful not to die here, kid.
Well, why don't
you're gonna become a mommy?
And as he says that, why don't you all make a sand roll?
Yes. Wow, I have a lot of success at the moment.
Oh man, I made it barely.
Yes, that's what I get for being plucky.
That's a pass for...
Sounds like everyone passed, so that's 1 point for passing.
Okay.
As there's just a very quick rumbling sound, and then a huge kind of whoosh and a thump, and you turn and you look and you see the slab that was that had been opened that was covering this passage falls back into place. With a very heavy sort of thump.
Okay, I'm sorry. What is the archaeologist's name?
We'll call him Gary for now.
God damn it, Gary! I thought you had it secured. What's wrong?
Ibn will sprint
back.
Fix
it! Fix it!
Damn it!
I'll rush. Yep. Ibn's breaking out the pry bar, seeing if he can move it at all.
Okay. You can't. I mean, you may give it a go just out of desperation, but you know from how much effort that it took and how many people it took to lift this from the outside that it, in reality, there's no way that you're gonna push this out.
Right.
From the outside of the pry bar.
Can I hear any of the workers on the outside?
You can hear. It's very muffled. You can kind of hear something. Why don't you make a listen roll?
Okay. I bet it's laughing. They're like, ha, 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 wait till they get to the end where we stuck all the other ones that went in here.
No, I can't. I can't quite make it out.
Okay, yeah, you can tell that there's someone there,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's too muffled. You can't.
In a string of profane Egyptian, Ibn will yell and curse the people on the other side, trying to tell them to their lazy rear ends get this thing out of the way.
Get your people moving.
Yeah, because that's how you want to talk to the people here that control whether or not you live or die.
Well, if a boss.
He's the boss, yeah.
Who is currently stuck in a tomb that he can't open.
Yes. So far, you guys are being very kind to Ibn in my eyes.
Okay, well, as soon as that shuts, I'm going to be like, Gary, there's got to be another way out of here. Should we go farther and see?
Oh, that's exciting. We should go look. See what we can find.
I look back at Tommy. Yeah. And I guess everyone else should come too, but yeah, Gary, so was there
They might rescue us at any moment. We should have our adventure while we can.
I like you. You're plucky.
That's what they say. All my life.
So yeah, I think I'm gonna start walking further into the tomb because, like, fuck being underground. That's terrible. I do not want to be trapped in here. Come on, archaeologist. I grab him by the shirt and, like, pull Gary along with me. And, like, we've got to find a way out.
Is there
Mr. Cartwright?
Is there any chance the hallway is slanting upwards?
There is not such a chance.
Would the opposite be true?
No, it's not slanting particularly downwards.
Okay. With the final curse, Ibn will kind of slap his hand against the wall and say, Mr. Cartwright, wait. Be careful. Hurry after everyone.
Well, then lead on.
Well, Mackenzie is going to follow the guys with the torch, kind of lighting the way. Knife in hand, in case that I see a spider or something else, like,
Sure. It's always good. Always good to be ready. As you make your way down the pass, you can see that this passageway is the walls are kind of covered with these with the hieroglyphics, and these kind of chips in the limestone, just kind of all the way down. It's about 25, 30 feet to the end. When you get to the end, and you're kind of bringing the light down there. You can see that there's more here than you realized when you were first looking in. It was kind of dim; you couldn't see much. But now that you're here, you can see that the end of this passageway is actually an archway. that's been bricked up. And in front of this sealed archway, there is a small table, like an ancient kind of wooden table, and a chest that appears to be covered with gold leaf.
Ooh.
And the bricked up archway, there's actually a hole in it. It's not a huge hole, but you know, it just kind of big enough for a person to worm their way in, you know, kind of down near one of the corners.
A skinny person?
Thomas! Get in the hole! Come on, let's see what's on the other side.
Of course, Mr. Cartwright.
Be pulled here, I'm getting
hold
there.
Hold my torch, please.
Yes, and Gary, hold his legs.
So yeah, I will climb into the hole. See what we see.
Presumably, bringing one of the lanterns or something with you.
I'm thinking I'll sort of get myself through it and then sort of push a hand back to reach for the whatever for a lantern.
Fair enough. So when you kind of worm your way in there, you actually bump into a few things as you're kind of climbing in there, and then you bring the lantern in and you can see that you are in a room that is just filled to the brim with what are very clearly ancient Egyptian artifacts.
Gary, come quickly. You will enjoy this.
There's a couch. There's a bunch of chairs. There's tables. There's stone tablets leaning up against the walls. There's statues of all kinds of description. There's ancient musical instruments. There's rolled up tapestries. There's vases lined up on the tables and on the floors and jars and bowls and chests and there's actually an entire chariot off in one corner.
Thomas, what do you see?
In another corner, there's a rowboat.
There is so much in here. You must come quickly. It's marvelous. There's a whole. There's a rowboat.
All right, I'll kind of just like snap my fingers and like, Philip, Ibn, bring the wall down.
All right, let's see how chop, do chop. We go about that.
I will
give you a hard look.
Oh, damn
you're
it.
No
now
pain.
I can't push
no.
around the archaeologist anymore. Shit.
Hello. Sorry about that.
We have to be nice to him now.
there are worse things.
Welcome, Gary.
Hey.
Hello. I do a blow job or running light.
Gary, your character is called Gary, so we're going to continue calling you that.
Yeah. That's right. Gary is fine.
All right. So, what can I do to help?
So yeah,
as long as it doesn't take a lot of effort, I'll do it.
It doesn't. Well, it takes a moderate amount of effort.
Okay. So while they're bashing down, I will definitely be rummaging through the stuff while the wall is getting bashed down and just sort of looking in. Maybe an instrument can still be played or something. I'm not sure, but.
And I'll take this gold idol, and I'll take that gold idol, and I'll take that gold idol.
As you're rummaging, you do see a couple other things. On the wall directly opposite where you came in, there is another archway that looks like at one point it too was bricked up, but it has been completely opened up. Not unlike what Mr. McKenzie is trying to do right now to the one you just came through. And there is another archway that appears to be completely bricked up on the wall to your right.
Okay.
And
so the one that is opened and the other is One has been opened and obviously resealed, and the other is just sealed.
Correct.
No, sorry, one is open.
Yep.
And the other is sealed.
Correct. You may make a archaeology and or spot hidden roll, if you wish.
I will start with a spot hidden roll. That is a normal success, and I will roll on my 1% archaeology. That is not a success.
Well, hopefully there will be an archaeologist in here soon. So.
I hope so, man.
So yeah, as you're kind of rummaging around, you notice that a lot of the items have been the stuff in this room has clearly been disturbed. There are jars that are knocked over, some are broken or chipped. A table is upended. It's been rummaged through before, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Not completely violently. It's not like everything has just been thrown around and smashed up on the wall, but someone or something has been through here rummaging and disturbing it before you.
Gary, I believe this is someone has been here. Come, make that hole faster. This is, there's amazing stuff, but I'm sure someone has been here.
One of the things I wanted to check while we were kind of bashing this hole in is if the material where the wall was bricked up is the same as kind of the, looked like it was, if it looked like the wall had been bricked up at the same time the passage had been built.
Whether it was done at the same time or not would require a roll of some kind, but it is clearly not of the same material.
Not of the same material, but... All right. I'll try a roll, which is a pretty good one, of 14. I don't know what I'd be rolling against. I do have a little bit of archaeology.
Yeah, archaeology would be good.
Yeah, that's 14 out of 20.
Archaeology?
I would accept
maybe
anything else you wanted to...
geology or masonry?
Yep, I would accept anything.
I rolled a hard success on my archaeology, 35 out of 70.
The ceiling of the archway very clearly does not date to the construction of the rest of the passage.
Is it lighter?
Yes.
It's
newer.
Newer, yeah. Okay, so that ceiling... Hey, look at that. That ceiling is newer. It's been built since the rest of this passageway.
Are you telling me that someone else has been in our find? I mean, this was going to be groundbreaking, Gary. That's what you told me.
Do we want to tell Gary our situation or just let him find it out?
Yeah.
You might want to fill him in.
So,
surprise!
Gary, I am your rich English benefactor, Chauncey S.
I didn't mean that part.
Chauncey S. Cartwright.
Yeah,
well,
that's the important part.
I mean, that may be the real horror in this scenario. I don't know, but...
We're trapped in a... Yeah, well, definitely A number one. But we're trapped in a newly discovered crypt or tomb in Egypt. And the slab closed on us, and we're effed, is basically what's happening.
Oh, they're going to get us close. I don't see what the problem is.
I'd be interested in having a look closer at the ceiling, because that ceiling's newer.
Okay. Well, the important takeaway from that little preamble there was that I'm your rich benefactor, so you should do what I say.
Gary, why don't you make me go ahead and first make me a... Do you have hieroglyphs? I forget whether you do or just our language professor does.
Do I have what?
Do you have hieroglyphs, Egyptian hieroglyphs as a language? I don't think so.
No, I've got Arabic, but I don't have...
I will make a roll for your... Is her... Where is she? Professor of Languages. Oh, there we go. That will be, yes, that will be good enough. So it only takes a couple of minutes for Mr. McKenzie to pull down the bricks that were sealing up the archway. While he's doing so, the professor of languages, who we will call Gale, for want of a better name, has been looking at the hieroglyphs along the passage that you are in, and has been able to read them somewhat. She mentions, as Mr. McKenzie is pulling it down, that it appears to be the story of a pharaoh, a particularly violent pharaoh, and that lots of people suffered and perished under his rule, but she can't really get much more than that. As Mr. McKenzie is pulling down the bricks sealing up the archway as well, he notices, as you know, probably kind of you all do, that the bricks have carved symbols in them, which your professor of languages, Gale, says that she does not recognize.
Oh, too late. Too late to stop me from pulling down the bricks, or having them pull down the bricks. Probably keeping the badness in. So, since we all can see the symbols on the bricks now, probably, is there some sort of roll we can make to identify them?
Is that Egyptian too?
The professor identifies them as definitely not Egyptian. And she specifically says that she doesn't know what they are. But anyone who would like to make an occult roll is welcome to do so.
Let me fuck with him. No.
Nope. No chance.
Okay. So once Mr. McKenzie gets the bricks down, Gary, you can make a archaeology roll as you see this chamber that the plucky kid has been rummaging in.
0.5.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I rolled a 25 on my occult, so I will burn the necessary luck to make that a success.
Oh, okay. So yes, they are signs and symbols protecting against grave robbers.
Shit.
I rolled an 0.5 on this. On my archaeology.
Okay, so you can see that all this, you know, there's, I think you came in just after the description. So, on the other side of this archway that you are now free to step through, Mr. Singh was rummaging around in, is just filled to the brim with ancient artifacts of all shape and size and description. And as you step in, you kind of, you know, survey the room, and you're initially, you know, really excited because this is clearly a huge find, very valuable, very just amazing, you know, both for its you know, scholarly value as well as its monetary value. There's clearly a lot here, but you don't.
We've done good, Gary, huh?
But you're not actually able to place it, meaning you don't. You would know, you know, if you looked at, you know, a particular style of canopic jar or a particular, you know, style of furniture, you know, that, oh, this is this particular dynasty or that particular dynasty. As you're looking at everything in here, you can't place it in history. You don't know when it came from.
What do you think, Gary? It looks like we have found a great treasure here.
It's exciting. Doesn't mean I'm going to get a raise. I found him.
Jim, by the way, I wasn't I didn't have my character sheet handy, so I didn't have to burn any luck, and I made a hard success. Am I a cult?
Okay, same thing.
Wow.
So I'll start looking over all of the pieces as I wander through.
Okay.
I'll make my way in and start looking at any paintings.
Ivan's going to be investigating the security of the room as far as the, again, structural stability.
Okay. So as you're all kind of looking around, looking at security, so we'll say that Al-Rashid, you're looking around and there's, as I said, another archway, directly opposite the one you came in, that was clearly at some point bricked up, and then at some other point broken through, kind of like you just did. And then to the east is another doorway, another archway that's completely sealed. And there are two large statues on either side of that archway. And Mr. Al-Rashid, as you're looking for them, as you're looking at them, you may make a sand roll.
Yeah, at the statues?
Yep.
That'll learn ya.
Yeah, I tell you. Oh, that doesn't look good. Let's see, though. Oh, no, I make it. Just barely.
Okay, just 1 point. You do kind of cry out, though, so probably everyone else is going to come over to
look at them as well?
Of course. Yes. Everyone else can make a sand roll.
Well, yeah.
21.
That's another pass.
You said 1 point on a success?
Correct.
Ooh, that's an 06. I'll take it.
Okay. So the statues themselves aren't what, kind of gives you a shock. They're, they're things you've seen before in Egypt. One of them is, a man with the head of a crocodile holding an Egyptian axe. The other is a man with the head of a jackal holding an Egyptian sword. The weapons are, aged but in pretty good condition. What gives you a shock is when you realize that the statues aren't actually statues.
Yeah.
They're both mummies that have been impaled on a spear to hold them upright.
Oh.
Ah.
Nice.
These must be his guards, no?
I will,
State of the art impaling.
Check out the mummies is the mummification is they are the wrapped in the the rags and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yep.
So the crocodile face, I guess, is difficult to discern, so I'll kind of reach up and kind of touch it, see if can feel the teeth and things like that.
You do feel teeth and things like that.
Yeah. Macabre.
How did they make mummy crocodile creatures?
Mr. Gary, what do you think of this?
What do you know?
I take a close look. Have I heard of anything like this before?
Not. Well, the interesting thing is you have, but it's all been, just kind of recent, larks from like the latter half of the last century where, people would take a mummy and take the head off and sew on the head of an animal and.
Or like furred fish.
Yep.
Yeah, some taxidermy these days. Do some pretty amazing things.
But not from this period. I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Yeah, and in fact, you know that this is I mean, this is just not something that is part of, you know, ancient Egyptian culture as you know it, right? Because the whole point of mummification was to keep the body intact so that you could use it in the afterlife. You know, and if you cut the head off and replace it with some other head, then that's clearly not keeping it intact and in good condition, right? So.
And then you're skewering it off.
Yeah, I'm having a close look. This is this has definitely been like sewn on this head.
You would have to take the mummy down and unwrap it to figure that out.
Okay.
I mean, that's clearly the only explanation.
Yuck.
Right?
Yuck.
Yes, Gary, let's do it. That'll be fun.
I turn away and light a cigarette.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch that.
I'll start taking the mummy down.
Okay. I will help. I will hold the light and help as needed.
Okay, that's going to take you a little while to get him down and start cutting through the wrappings.
But I'm careful where I'm basically unwrapping, being very, very careful. I mean, this is a new find. This could make us lots of money.
Okay, what are the rest of you doing? Wow.
I am looking over the riches in the room, especially paintings.
Make an appraise roll.
Well, my appraise is too low for this scenario for this character, so 34. How much luck do I have? Wow, not a lot. Okay, so that's a fail on the appraise.
Okay. It's valuable. I mean, clearly, you know, you see gold and ancient Egyptian stuff, which is very popular right now. So it's clearly valuable, but you're not such an expert to be able to figure out exactly how much. Mr. McKenzie?
I will be helping. Basically, you know, the more I, you know, see things in this place, I will approach at some point. What was his name? Sorry, Mr. Cartwright. No, Mr. Cartwright. Listen, we need to talk about my race seriously.
Yes, well, for a race, what more than you are doing now are you going to do for me? What are you going to give me to get this raise?
Well, honestly, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for me, you know, uncovering all those ancient bricks that you fancy so much, so.
Right, well, like I said, what are you going to give me in the future? I mean, I appreciate your gumption, and that's why I'm even entertaining this conversation. But what are you going to give me over and above what you do now in the future? How can you be of value to me?
Well, for starters, I'm pretty sure I can take you out of here alive. And that's gonna, you know, worth something for someone like you.
My good man, Mr. McKenzie, if you do that, I will double your salary.
I'll consider it dumb.
Then let conversation.
Kind of broke up there, Max.
Yeah, it was Max, right? Yeah. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, it was Max. I was saying, why don't we go ahead and revisit this conversation when you have achieved that goal?
Nice.
Very well.
So, Gary, you are able to.
I shake on it. Okay. I shake on it.
Oh, Chauncey is serious. He will.
I don't want to die in a hole under the desert in frickin' Egypt.
He will pay you double for the duration of time that you were down here. So Gary, yeah, you're able to, you know, you get one of them down and unwrap the wrappings. You know, this is in, you don't even need an archaeology roll. Clearly this is a, you know, an ancient mummy. The body is very desiccated. The skin is very leathery. The mummification job was clearly a very good one. You know, this wasn't one of them cheap rush jobs. This was the quality mummification.
Yep.
Make me a medicine roll.
A medicine roll. Okay. 1-4-0-1 No, I don't make it. Really can't afford to spend the luck.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell how the head was attached. You know, down here, given the flickering candlelight and the, you know, the leathery, wrinkled skin, and it looks attached, obviously. I mean, obviously, you know, this isn't a normal sort of thing, but you know exactly how it was attached, you know, with stitches or staples or glue or whatever. You can't
interesting
tell.
Guys, any of you know good at medicine?
Why? Are you feeling sick?
No, take a look here.
Yeah?
I will approach and take a look.
It's not the usual stitched on job.
I notice everyone kind of bending over that way. You mentioned some of the things on the room, like the couch, when we talked about the mummies and stuff. There's also like some like gold and little trinkets that might fit in Ibn's pockets lying around. Right?
There certainly are, yes.
Excellent. They fit nicely in his pockets, I think.
Okay.
A few choice handfuls.
And as you pass the opening to the other room, you can see, you know, you probably peek your head and you can see there's other stuff in there as well.
Wait. Now, can I get a spot hidden roll in this gym?
Sure.
Ten.
Mr. Al-Rashid, make your sneak roll or stealth roll.
Oh, my goodness.
Sleight of hand? No, wrong game.
No, nope, sleight of hand.
Oh, there is sleight of hand.
Sleight of hand it is, yes.
Yep. Oh, a 94, however, I drop
it. It's like opening his shirt and sticking it in.
Next,
yes.
We need the bluff roll.
Yes, Chauncey, you see Mr. Al-Rashid pocketing a few small items.
Mr. Al-Rashid, what are you doing?
Mr. Cartwright, we're going to have to work together to carry this out. So that you may split it up.
Yes. Let's figure out getting out of here first, and then we'll figure out the treasure. Okay? You will be paid an ample part of the sum as agreed in our initial agreement.
Certainly, sir. Certainly.
Can I roll an intimidate on Al-Rashid? Oh, it's a 99. You lucky Rashid.
Not scared.
So you
at
just
all.
Said like, yeah.
I was giving him a hard look, but the light was pointing in a different direction. He didn't see me, so
I will wait for the next opportunity when Mr. Cartwright turns his back.
Oh, you better believe that shit ain't happening.
Slide to another side of the room with some other pretty.
I move over to stand next to him.
So I'll take a look at the mummy and see. You know, I have first aid quite a lot. So, it's not medicine, but it's got to be medicine?
Got to be medicine.
Okay, so never mind.
Yeah, you.
Yeah.
You're pretty sure there's no first aid that's going to help.
Pretty sure there's the mummy.
Brave, then be brave.
Do CPR. Does that work?
Yeah. You're right, Gary.
Dead.
They're not moving. I'll give you that.
Best kind of mummy. Not moving.
I'll start looking around the rest of the room in terms of the walls and that sort of stuff. I want to see if there's any like secret doors or anything like that.
Well, there's two very not secret doors.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay, so then I'll go through one of the doors.
So there's the archway that you came in through that Mr. McKenzie mm-hmm. broke down to come in through. There's an archway directly on the wall directly opposite that, which itself looks like it was bricked up but then broken through at some point. And then on the again from the archway that you came where you came in, there's another archway on the right that is completely bricked up and very solid looking.
Okay, how old are the bricks? Do they look like they're part of the structure? Do they look like... are they as old as the structure? Or do they look like it's been bricked up more recently?
It looks more recent.
Okay.
So you guys, somebody was in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's been through here, but they've re-bricked it up for some reason.
But they left all the treasure.
I know. Why don't you get your guy to break down, the plucky kid to break down the wall while we go and check out this other room?
Oh, I get to break it down this time?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thomas. Now that's pluck.
Yes. I will grab the sledgehammer and with the zeal of youth, I will start removing the bricked up wall.
Okay.
I'll head through the already open doorway.
Okay. Let's give the plucky kid a strength roll.
Okay. ooh, that is a normal success.
Okay. The bricks are really solid.
Okay.
It's going to take you some time and some effort.
My strength is low, but my con is high. I will keep at it.
Con away. Okay, so Gary, you go into the other chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So this chamber is slightly smaller than the one you came in. It's about as deep, but maybe half as wide. As you come in, you can see that it's not nearly as full of stuff as the room you came from. But mm-hmm. there is some stuff here. The walls themselves are, there's a, like a ridge around the wall. That has a number of clay funerary cones standing on it.
Yep.
On the wall opposite the entrance, and as you turn around and kind of look back, on the wall where the entrance that you came in through was, there are two very large murals. On the wall to your right as you come in, there is a large... shrine of some sort with a 5 foot tall ankh that at first glance looks to be made out of gold, but it's hanging on the wall upside down. And there's a number, and when I say a number, I don't mean dozens, I mean like hundreds of like gold filaments stretching out from the ankh. I mean, not far, you know, like 6-8 inches each. There's a mat lying on the floor at the base of this ankh, and there is a skeleton lying on the mat.
Hey guys, I think I may know where one of the people who may have broken into this place is. I'll just slowly go up to the skeleton and just take a look. Is it fairly recent?
It is. Where is the skeleton? The skeleton is. Why don't you give me a first aid roll on this one?
First aid roll.
Smash.
26.
Smash.
That's a success.
It is. I mean, it's not recent like yesterday, but it's pretty recent. And in fact, you know, there are some, you know, scraps of what was clearly clothing on the skeleton that you would guess probably date from the turn of the century or thereabouts. And
okay.
There is a satchel next to the skeleton as well.
I'll have looked at in the satchel while I call out to the others.
Well, I rush over, keeping my eye on Mr. Al Rashid.
As soon as he disappears through the door, you know what's going in my pocket.
Okay.
If he's going to be out of sight, I'll stand in the door and watch him and watch Gary.
Okay. So, Gary, as you look through the satchel, in the satchel, there's a small sack, and the sack is filled to the brim with gold and bronze jewelry. There is also a trowel, a flask of water, a German passport, a stick of dynamite, and, of course, you knew this was coming, a leather-bound journal.
Yeah, well, you had me at,
I'm going to slip the stick of dynamite in my top.
Oh, God.
And I'm going to have a look at the journal.
Okay. Wait, since I was watching Gary and Al Rashid specifically, do I get a spot hidden for the dynamite?
Is Gary? Are you trying to hide the dynamite, Gary?
Yes.
Okay. Then yeah, sleight of hand for Gary and spot hidden for.
Well, I rolled a 0.3. So.
Are you serious? Are you serious,
that's
bro?
I'm serious. That's half my skills. So
fail for me.
Okay.
So,
yeah, so you
I guess Gary has dynamite now.
Can I roll? Can I roll?
Yeah, if you're coming over to watch.
Yeah, why not? There's a Foss. And I don't think that's a pass.
You would need an extreme success to see Gary's hard success on his.
No extreme or anything like it. Nope.
Okay. So, Gary, the journal, as you take a look at it, unsurprising, given the passport that you found, appears to be written in German.
Anybody here read German?
I do.
I call out.
Yeah. I do, of course. Gary, I read German.
I would have guessed it was Germans. If I had had one guess.
Over to you. It looks like I'll open up the passport and look for a name.
Okay. The passport is in the name of a Sasha Karner. Put that in the notes.
Sasha. Okay. Let you.
Whoops. All right. are. Birth date, August 2, 1880. Residing in Berlin.
Sorry. Looks like Sasha Kana did not make it out. He made it in, but not out.
Gary, Jim, I want to... We mentioned, Gail's character one time before. I don't know if are we going to say that she's with us, the language expert, or are we going to say that she is?
No, she is. Not?
I speak German.
She's with. Oh, okay. She's there. But yeah, we'll okay. let. Presumably, you're going to stop trying to break down.
Yeah, the I will. I will. I will try to avoid getting too much sweat on the journal as I am dripping a little bit. But I will read. Yeah, read the journal by candlelight as I'm.
He's in the next room, so I'll take over for Thomas on the wall there.
Okay. Make me a German roll, Mr. Singh.
All right. I will spend some luck. I have a 30 German. I got a 38, so I'll spend down here.
Okay. So the... Second here. So the journal... there are entries in it dated from 1910 to 1916, and apparently this Sasha Karner, whoever he was an anthropologist, and he was on a trip to Egypt attempting to unearth ancient Egyptian artifacts, as you do. He was in Egypt with a English companion and archaeologist, a Dr. Gerald Sutton. He complains a lot about the work environment, given that there was a war going on. And then towards the end of the journal, you find some entries that are of particular interest. Get these for you. Copy them into notes if you want to read them.
Sure. 7 August 1916. Word has reached us of fierce fighting north, close to the Suez Canal. Our men are frightened enough as it is without the fear of being killed in a crossfire. Their superstitious beliefs have delayed the dig more than once, and I do not care for any further delay. We dig tirelessly through the loose sand and rock. We are close. 3rd September, 1916. Today was glorious. We have found the entrance. Removing the doorway was difficult, but we created a pulley system that allowed us entry. More work greets us inside. Limestone chips have clogged the entirety of the tunnel. I've halted the removal of the stones until I have surveyed the structure and documented what we have learned thus far. Sutton thinks my meticulous records are unnecessary and time-consuming. Those must be the chips that are still in there. 1st December, 1916. Boy, they worked for September, October, November. Wow. Finally, the tunnel is now clear. Some of the workers have taken a great interest in the damaged hieroglyphs in the passageway. Today we remove the last of the stone chips and explore. The stonework looks unstable. It may be too risky to use explosives.
There's one more entry, 3rd December.
Oh, 3rd December, 1916. Oh, Sutton is dead, it says. The local labor attacked us and broke his neck when he refused to be forced inside the tomb. Beware the children of the Sphinx. I plan on waiting a couple of hours in the hopes they have gone. I'll gather some of the jewelry and then make my escape. This place will not be my tomb. I can hear noises. Something else is here with me. That must be what killed him. Must be the rebels, or whatever was happening.
Must be. Look at that, Ankh. Look how it's inverted. It's so unusual, and the threads of gold I'm going to take a look at this map that he's on.
Okay. It is a pretty typical ancient Egyptian reed mat.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing particularly exciting about it.
I'm going to slowly lift it up off. The ground, is the ground underneath square, flat? Is it?
Yep.
Does it look like there's a sort of depression or not?
Nope.
Okay. I'll go up and have a look at this Ankh.
It is an Ankh, except that it's upside down and has all these weird filaments coming off it.
Would you say that it's sort of angsty?
You could say that. It's actually un-angsty, though. You would know that, of course, the Ankh is an Egyptian symbol of life, and so to hang it upside down and have whatever all this stuff coming off of it is not that.
Okay, making sure I've got my gloves on, I basically just see about touching some of the filaments. Are they made out of gold, or...?
They are. They're soft enough that they do move a little bit as you touch them. You know, just kind of delicately mm-hmm. brush them. They do move a little bit, but they do feel like they too are.
Do they make a sound? Like no. If I brush a few of them, do they make a sound? Like...
No.
Interesting. Look behind the Ankh. How's it secured to the wall?
So
I think this could be removed?
Yes, you do. It's hanging on hooks.
So what we need to do is find that dynamite they had lying around here.
It might be in the other room.
It might be, yeah. Let me go and take a look.
That's true. We could blow through the wall and get out with it, perhaps.
Of course, put it back on the entrance, blow it, and we'll get out of here.
Oh, that would be exciting. That would sure scare the people outside. That would be fun.
Yes, well, that's the main point right now. We need to figure a way to get out of here.
Mr. McKenzie, you're going back into the first room?
Yeah, per Gary's suggestion.
To look for the dynamite? Okay.
I'll go around looking for the dynamite.
Okay, before you get there, as you turn, you kind of stand up from the skeleton and you turn back towards the opening that you came in and the wall and the mural on it, you get the first kind of really good look that anyone has bothered to pay attention to this mural. And you may make a sand roll.
No. That's a pass.
That's only 1 point of sand loss.
Okay. You missing 2 points so far.
So
you sound disappointed.
The mural is quite disturbing. It appears to be a depiction of an Egyptian city, an ancient Egyptian city, being attacked by an army of monsters, men with animal heads, carrying, swords and axes and this sort of thing. There are, sort of some kind of like huge black tentacles or tendrils or something, jutting out of the ground and kind of waving around, destroying buildings and tearing people apart, and some of these invading monsters are eating people and kind of behind the army there's a group of these monsters who are carrying a litter, and there is on the litter is seated someone who seems to be dressed like a pharaoh, except they're entirely dressed in black.
Gary, get your sorry soul over here. Take a look at this.
Okay, he moves away from the Ankh and walks over and has a look at the mural.
You and presumably everyone else, as he says that and looks up, can make a similarity.
That's very disturbing.
It's good to be cheap labor sometimes in the next room, nowhere near the building.
I fail.
That's a D3 for failing.
D3, okay. So I lose 3 points.
And
so
then,
the mummies we found, they had some animal heads, you said?
I did.
Or
yes, they did.
They look just like the mummies, Gary.
Meanwhile, speaking of
the person Mr. in the room Mr. all by himself.
Mr. Al-Rashid.
And
with the mummy
heads right next to them.
Give me a strength roll.
Strength. That's a 97.
Yeah, so, you know, you've been kind of banging away on these sealed bricks with a crowbar or whatever you have as well. And, you know, you're just not making any progress. You know, you can hear the other guys talking. You hear Mr. McKenzie, you know, cry out, and the others kind of look, and you can hear him talking and whatever. Make a listen roll.
You are no plucky kid.
Yeah, that right. I'm easily winded. That is no doubt a fail. Yep, fail.
Okay, you can hear what sounds like a scraping, but you can't tell where it's coming from, like a stone on stone kind of scraping.
Stone on stone.
Yeah.
I'll stop what I'm doing, kind of panting, kind of look around a little bit. Do I see anything in the room, or?
Presumably, no.
In that case, I will take the lantern, ho, and I'll run back down the hallway where we came, because that must be the people finally making some progress from outside.
I'm going to say, like, Mr. Al-Rashid, where are you going?
They found us. They're making progress.
Okay.
Mr. Oh, we should prepare a surprise for them.
I let him go.
Takes off down the passageway.
I will pick back up with the, no, he thinks people are coming.
I will pass Chaucy the sack of jewelry. There you go. More ancient jewelry.
So, Mr. Singh, you went back into the other room, the first room.
The room where he was sledgehammering.
Yeah. You were thinking about picking it up and then probably picked up the crowbar, looked at it, and said, "Well, why am I doing this? Why don't you make a listen roll too?"
All right. That is a hard success.
Okay. You hear a loud thump, the sound of something very heavy being dropped onto stone. And it's very clearly coming from the other side of this bricked up opening.
Gary, come quickly.
Turn and come.
Listen, I hear
Jim. Quick question.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, while Gary is running from one place to the other, does he drop the dynamite?
It's in my shirt.
Yeah, I'm sure it's stowed pretty well. He put it in his shirt, and his shirt's tight, and, you know, as a good archaeologist in 1920, whatever this is, it's, you know, his shirt's tucked in, and he's got a belt, and So.
Damn it.
So Gary, you run over to Mr. Singh.
Look, I think they are coming from the other side, from back there. We should get this open quickly so that they can rescue us more easily. And I will start swinging the sledgehammer at the wall.
And
I'll have a listen.
As Mr. Singh is about to start swinging, you can hear a thump, and then another thump, and then another thump, and it sounds like footsteps.
See, they are coming. But they must be breaking through the stone
quickly.
Or something.
Quickly, hit it.
Okay, yeah, so I'll give it a super solid smash here with the sledgehammer.
Okay, give me a strength roll.
All right. 41 is not a success.
Okay. Yeah, you give it the big swing and clang and nothing's happening. But then a moment later, the stonework bursts open.
See?
You may make both of you, since both of you are standing there, Mr. Singh and Jerry, make a dodge roll.
No.
My dodge. I'm going to spend my 10 points of luck to succeed.
I'm going to become a lot less plucky.
Okay.
Okay.
Edwin, you can take a D4 of damage.
All right. 3.
As this bricked-up wall virtually explodes inwards and you're hit with flying bricks.
Hey!
And then both of
careful,
you...
Careful, careful!
Both of you can make sand rolls.
How's a 99 do ya?
That'll be a D6 for both of you.
So that's 6, and I'll make an idea roll.
I rolled a 6 as well.
71.
That's right. I have lost 10 points 50. Of sand. I've lost 1/5 of my sand.
I passed my idea roll.
Oh, nice. That's exciting. And Gary, you can make an idea roll as well.
I passed. Oh, 22. I quite well passed my idea roll.
Lucky you.
why don't both of you give me a D10 just for fun?
Right. 10.
5.
Okay. So... Oh, that works. Okay. So, Mr. Singh... give me a D10.
The second one, you mean?
Yeah.
5.
Okay. So you are just, jaw open, eyes wide, rooted to the spot in terror, unable to call out, unable to move, unable to do anything.
Deal.
Gary, why don't you give me another D10?
Okay.
4. Okay. You see the thing that is stepping through the opening, and you just turn and flee in panic. You will be fleeing in panic for the next 4 rounds.
Any chance I can toss the dynamite behind me as I flee in panic?
Nope. That'll be a no.
Okay, I flee in panic.
As you
see, I'll be screaming.
As you see a huge man, but huge, very, almost 7 feet tall, incredibly muscular, not wrapped up like a mummy, but, certainly kind of covered in strips of mummy-type linen, but not completely. You can see that his skin is covered in what appear to be large open sores that are dripping some kind of pus and yellow pus and black bile. His head appears to be that of a wolf. Only not a wolf like you've ever seen. First, because it's on top of this huge man's body. And second, because his eyes are glowing red. And he steps...
So I'll be screaming, "It's them!" as I run probably back into the other chamber, which is away from them.
So we will be in dex order. So Edwin, you are rooted to the... Mr. Singh, you are rooted to the spot. Mr. Al-Rashid, you hear, you know, you can hear the bricks explode, and you hear, you know, Gary just scream in terror like you've never heard.
Any chance I see any movement down the hallway where I'm headed?
You do not.
Oh. What is going on? I will, turn and... I guess walk back a little bit.
walk back slowly. What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. Do I want to know? If there's a corner I can peek around, I'll peek.
Okay, so it'll take you till next round before you get to the... We'll say you were far enough down the corridor that it'll take you to the next round to get back into the... to a place where you can peek around into the room. Right. Mr. McKenzie. You are in the antechamber, and you hear the bricks explode inwards, and you hear Gary's scream of terror.
Yeah, the first thought that goes through my mind is that someone actually, you know, found the dynamite and made it explode. So I'm going to head towards that direction of the explosion.
Okay.
I'll be running past him as he...
you enter the room and you see this thing, and you can make a sand roll.
Okay, let's see how well I fare. 67. Unfortunately, that is a failure.
That's a D6 for you.
Two points.
Okay. Mr. Jim. Yeah.
Sorry, I've got also a permanent insanity because I'm actually lost 1/5 as well. Altogether.
Okay. Yeah, we'll deal with that. Mr. Cartwright.
Oh yes.
You hear the exploding bricks, you hear Gary's scream, you see Mr. McKenzie, you know, reacts quicker than a little bit quicker than you do and dash into the other room, and he cries out in terror.
Well, so 0 for 2. That doesn't sound like good odds. I will saunter up to the opening of that room and
saunter.
Barely peek in to see what the heck is going on.
Okay, you can have your sand roll.
Great. That is a 0/1.
Perfect. That is only 1 point then. So, Gary, so you're going to be fleeing in panic this round and 3 more.
Yep.
And you're, after that, you will have a phobia of all things Egyptian.
Mess with your career.
Egyptophobia. So where particularly are you fleeing? Are you just running around the room in circles? Are you going into the antechamber where the skeleton was?
I'm running into the room with the yunk.
Fair enough, you're headed that way. The thing is, it kind of steps through the opening, you know, kind of takes a look around. And makes a big swipe at Mr. Singh, who is standing right there in front of it.
I bravely do not dodge.
The thing actually is holding an Egyptian sword as well.
Excellent.
He overbalances a little bit and misses Mr. Singh, though.
Expecting me to dodge.
Yep, that must be it. So, Mr. Singh, you have
round two.
You're now down to three more rounds of
frozen
in terror. Mr. Al Rashid, you make your way. You know, you make your way back down the corridor to the entrance to the room. Peek around, see this abomination, and find yourself making a sand roll.
That is a fail. D6.
Yep.
Let's see what happens to him. A 6. Did everybody roll a 6 that failed the same roll?
I didn't roll the 6. I just rolled a 99 on my sand check.
Why don't you give me an idea roll?
Okay. Yep. Let's do it. Yep, got the ideas.
Okay. Give me a D10.
10.
Okay, you are also rooted in terror, rooted to the spot, unable to move or cry out or do anything. Give me another D10.
Okay. 10.
I'll
watch the whole show.
You'll be there for a while.
Yeah.
Mr. McKenzie.
Mackenzie is going to pull out his gun and start shooting at the thing.
Of course you are. Would expect nothing less from you. Go right ahead, sir.
All right, let's see. Failure. How many shots do I have? Just one? Checked. 2, it says 1, 2, 3, but you let me know when you want me to roll the other two.
You can
roll them down.
Go ahead and roll them now, sure, with your penalty dice.
Yeah. There's one pass, and let me add the other penalty, and a failure. So just one hit.
Okay.
Four. Damage is 1d8. 4 points.
Okay. You know, the one bullet, hits it. It kind of, you can see it, not that it hurts it, but it definitely, you know, affects it. You can see it kind of stagger a bit. Mr. Cartwright.
How fast is it moving, Jim?
It is not moving slowly.
Okay.
Okay, so I see this thing moving towards us as I was peeked around the corner.
Yep.
I cower in fear behind the wall.
Fair enough. Gary, you are fleeing in panic.
Yeah, I'll be basically probably up against the wall in a corner somewhere. If I'm stuck in a room basically with no exit.
In the darkness.
I've got my candle.
Hopefully you haven't blown out with your... with your
screen. I was going to say, I'm sure it didn't go out with you running with it.
Yep.
True.
The thing will take another swipe at Mr. Singh. There we go. Much better. That'll connect.
Oof.
With this Egyptian sword that it has. For 9 points of damage.
I will become immobile for other reasons then. I am at 0.
You see a splash of blood, and Mr. Singh collapses to the ground. Mr. Al-Rashid, you are standing paralyzed with terror for 9 more rounds. Mr. McKenzie.
Mackenzie's gonna shoot again.
Go right ahead.
Emptying his gun this round. So let's see. First shot. First one is a pass. Second one is a failure. Third one is a pass.
Okay.
To the 8. 4 points and 4 points. 8 points total.
Nice. Okay. It staggers back and then turns and apparently charge you here in a moment. Mr. Cartwright.
Yeah, I'm going to take out my pocket knife. And I guess just sit there in terror while Mr. McKenzie is shooting at this whatever the heck it is.
He's earning his double pay.
Yeah, he better be earning that double pay.
Gary, you are fleeing in panic.
For a couple more I'm not hours. Paying him, that's for sure.
The creature will charge Mr. McKenzie. It'll take this round to get across the room to him. Mr. Al-Rashid, you are still frozen with terror. It's exciting. As you see your plucky kid, good friend, slashed open. Mr. McKenzie, the abomination is upon you.
Running out of bullets and with a torch in my hand, lucky me, I will try to impale it with the fire on the chest so it will catch some fire.
Okay. That sounds like a fighting roll to me.
Yep. I got a high brow, lucky me. Soldier and all. Oh! 90.
Which, of course, gives it the chance to fight back against your flaming lantern or torch there with its heavy bronze sword, which it slashes you with. You may have 8 points of damage.
Oh, shit. Eight. Make one roll. And that is a failure.
Okay, so you collapse unconscious.
Indeed I do.
Mr. Cartwright.
Awesome. So I'm going to shakily stand up. Arms totally quivering and shaking and don't you know who I am? And I'm going to try and stab him in the neck or something with my pocket knife.
Go right ahead.
Nope, that's a 92. Okay. So I miss and go neck right into the mouth.
It will.
You might get a bonus die for being the second person to attack him.
You would have a bonus die.
Oh, a 12.
See?
All right. Sweet. So that is a hard success.
Okay.
So it can still fight back.
It already fought back against Randall.
Luckily, that pocket knife is silver.
So go ahead and roll some pocket knife damage.
Oh, max damage, 4.
Nice.
Oops. The creature staggers backwards and takes a swing at you. And I will give him a penalty die for that, which does not make anything worse. And he gives you a good swipe across the chest for 11 points of damage.
Oh, I'm dead. Yeah, I'm dead. I'm glad that was my last words, because that worked.
Okay. So I think we'll just narrate the rest of this as Mr. Al-Rashid, you watch in terror as the creature stalks into that room and you hear a crunch and a scream as Gary goes down.
I'm back.
And
did I just die?
Another crunch and a scream as Gale goes down. And then you see it stalk out of the room and over to you.
So I didn't get a chance. So, Jim, I didn't get a chance to act. I take it. I was still in fear.
Yep, you were still in the... You were close, but unfortunately, Mr. Cartwright didn't delay it quite long enough.
So it's a shame that Mackenzie didn't find the dynamite.
So the last thing you see, Mr. Al-Rashid, is this horrible abomination standing in front of you. And this heavy bronze Egyptian sword swinging at your neck.
Aye.
The end.
All right.
Man, I think Gary's is the worst death, because his is like, he's got the dynamite. He's probably staring at it with his eyes, but he can't move. So it's just like, no! No! No!
Well, that's pretty good. 1 hour 40. Even with us.
Yep. Yeah, this Chaosium has developed a template, because this is exactly the same as last year's introduction convention scenario, Dead Border, right? Where you're set up with a very enclosed thing. You have, time to walk around and look and stuff and do some investigation and gather some knowledge. And then
die.
Pretty much whenever the keeper decides is the right time, then...
Shit goes down.
Yeah, the creature shows up and... there you go.
Thank you, Gary.
That was fun.
That was good. Because of Cthulhu proof, we can't even delay it. Go off on tangent.
That's true, yeah. So, it sounded like you wrote down folks' dexes ahead of time.
Yep.
And you must have had the map in front of you. Did you do anything else sort of prep-wise? Obviously, you read it, but
Nope.
What are you thinking of for prep for the game itself?
Just, that's really it. I mean, just having, the character sheets, the character descriptions, the one handout, and then probably, to do it at a table, probably just a pen and a paper. Do you draw out the tomb as you go through it?
Yeah, that's I think that's pretty much all I thought of also was the basically the handout and the map.
So is this the one you're going to be running at Necronomicon, Jim?
Jim's running it at Gen Con.
Yep.
Gen Con. Okay.
Yeah, I'm actually running. I'm running this twice at Gen Con, and then another one once, a longer one once.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Also, nice. This once, and then another one. The other one, I'm a little worried about. This one seemed fairly straightforward.
Yep.
But did you get Jim the our little teaser, and are you going to be able to post that at some point?
Yes, I did, and yes, I will.
Awesome, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Get that up there. So that's it.
It was fun. Guys. Yeah,
it was
super fun.
It's a shame that Mackenzie couldn't kill the creature, but
I think if I had to compare, I think this one was a little more fun than Dead Border.
I like Dead Border.
Was that just because of us, or?
It's probably because of the character I got to play.
That was a good character.
Yeah. It is almost impossible to survive this. It's not completely impossible, but it's nearly impossible.
Well, I mean, you have to have players to work together, and that never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, but even if you use the dynamite, if you just throw the dynamite at the thing or something like that, it will kill the creature. And you guys were actually really close to killing it. One more successful attack probably would have killed it. But if you dynamite it, you know, if you just toss the dynamite or do it in just kind of a general haphazard, I'm trying to kill this thing with dynamite way, then you're just going to collapse the tomb on top of you. So you're all going to die.
Oh, hooray.
What horrors await if you go down the tunnel it came from? More like him, or?
Nope, that's the only one. There is more treasures where he came from. Some more sanity mm-hmm. stuff, as there's some nasty, ugly stuff in there. There's another room off of the room where he and his sarcophagus was that has some more treasures in it. And actually, in that room is kind of the quick way to destroy him, because if you can get in there somehow, I don't know how you actually would, and somehow find it, there's a jar with his heart in there that you can stab his heart and kill him immediately.
Yeah, that one seems a little unlikely to me somehow.
Yeah, I don't see how that would happen. But it's in there as a possibility. So,
right, yeah, which is good.
Yep. No. That's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Have a good night, all.
Have a good weekend. And I'll talk to you Sunday.
Take it easy.
Cheers.
Bye.
Later.
See you guys Sunday.
Bye.